Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
1-1 pitch. Fastball pulled and passed. Alvarez it toward the corner.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball at cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Adam, Scott, Heath, and Chris.
Frankie Montas, Sonny Gray, Kevin Gausman, Cole Hamels. Who else pitched well yesterday, Heath, that we need to talk about?
Frankie Montas.
Oh, yeah, I said it. It was the first guy.
Oh, yeah. I was listening to you. Definitely. I was just so distracted.
Literally the first two words I said to start the show were Frankie Montas.
I was doing my Adam Azer impersonation.
Oh, yeah. It was very good.
I do want to congratulate you guys.
Both of us?
Both of you. Yeah. Team Scam.
Team Scam?
What I think over 10 games over 500 for the first time in league history.
That can't be true.
Sitting
that's probably
six,
true.
16-4. And I just wanted to get that in before this week's scores went on the tally mark.
Oh, we're not doing well?
You're 0-9-1 against a team that's 4-15.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. We got time to turn it around. Scott, it's early in the week. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today here on CBS Sports. If you're watching the video, thank you. Welcome. Scott, how you doing?
Doing fine. Doing
okay.
Fine.
Good. Well, you're getting called out. Both of you getting called out. And our email of the day, it is from Wes from Oakland. Fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. That is our email address. I'm calling you out, Scott and Heath. Is this real about your rankings? Frankie Montas is not in your top 125 starting pitchers. Is that true?
That is definitely not true for me. Frankie Montas is the top 75 starting pitcher.
Did you update
me.
That this morning?
It probably was true when that guy sent the email, because Frankie Montas was not on anyone's radar in the preseason. And guys, sometimes we hear things about him, we talk about him, we say, well, that's interesting, and then we don't go to our rankings for 2 days, we forget to update them. What Frankie Montas has done at the start of the year, with the new splitter, with the ridiculous fastball velocity, he's one of the hardest starting pitchers in baseball so far this year. I think you need to buy in.
All right, so he's 49% owned, Frankie Montas. He threw 6 1/3, 3 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts against the Astros. Now, you see the ERA is 2.70. 6 walks to 20 strikeouts and 23 1/3 is not great, but... 3 of his 4 starts have come against teams in the bottom 5 in strikeouts per game, meaning they don't strike out much. All 4 of his starts have been against teams in the bottom 9 in strikeouts per game, which does include Baltimore, by the way. If you think back to Tyler Glasnow's start against Baltimore, maybe they're not a high strikeout team. I don't know. I mean, they can't hit.
Or maybe guys just say, you know, we're just going to pitch to contact them because
right
the Orioles.
So what do you think, Scott? Frankie Montas, I mean, it's easy to drop Corbin Burns for him at this point. You should drop Corbin Burns for anybody in the world. But do you think Montas needs to be owned again, only 49% owned?
Nah, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. There was some hype about a splitter this spring. He hardly threw it in this game. He hasn't really been throwing it that much. It kind of reminds me of the start he got off to last year. He had a 2.41 ERA through his first 5 starts. And, you know, 3 of them, I would say, are more impressive than any that he's had this year. Obviously, he came back to earth then. And I think he will this year, too.
Really? Wow, what a buzzkill.
Yeah, Scott does not like Frankie Montas at all. And like I don't think he's necessarily must-own in all leagues. And I have teams where I wouldn't be able to pick him up because I just couldn't find anybody that I wanted to. Mm-hmm. But I think he's interesting.
Okay, all right. Next week, is he a 2-star pitcher? He's a 1-star pitcher against Texas next week. All right, here's our question of the day. That was our email of the day. Here's our question of the day. It is from me, Adam, at Adam Azer. Boston is, I think they're 6-13. No team has lost 12 or more of their first 18 games and made the playoffs since the Angels in 2002, and they actually won the World Series. Will the Boston Red Sox make the playoffs? Again, no team has started as poorly as they have and made the playoffs since 2002. Scott, will the Red Sox make the playoffs this year?
Yeah. Yeah. There's really
so confident.
Not a doubt in my mind they're going to make the playoffs. Their pitching has been ridiculously awful in the early going, and they're already... I mean, we have reasons to suspect it was poor planning on their part. They're already beginning to turn it around. Nathan Eovaldi had a much better start yesterday. Obviously, Chris Sale's velocity was up in his last start. They're going to be fine. I mean, they've also been scoring a few runs, but I mean, looking at the personnel they have on offense, that's going to change too. I think it's just one of those baseball oddities that, you know, come mid-July, nobody will even remember.
I will say I don't think the Red Sox and the Yankees are both going to make the playoffs.
Yep, I agree.
I think it's highly unlikely that both the wild cards come out of the East. I think the Rays are going to win the division. And so one of those teams is going to miss. The Yankees probably seem like the most likely right now just because of all of their injury problems. But I wouldn't feel confident. Like if I was giving the Red Sox playoff chances right now, I'd probably put it at like 52%.
They're 6-13. They're 8.5 games out of first place. The Rays are 14-4. The Yankees somehow are in second place in this awful division at 8-9, but not currently a playoff team.
I still think both the wild cards will come out of the East. Twins are off to a good start. The Mariners are off to a good start. But you just look at the personnel on those five teams.
That's true.
The Yankees are obviously devastated by injury, but you know, few of them are long term issues. It's a long season. We're like 10% into it. So there's plenty of time for these things to correct.
Okay, pretty crazy what's going on there. Listen, this is a big week. NFL draft is in 8 days on CBS Sports HQ today, Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern. They're doing a mock draft where several of our analysts are representing different teams. It's going to be really fun. Check it out on CBS Sports HQ. This morning, you know, they're doing NBA highlights, MLB highlights. There's fantasy talk on CBS Sports HQ. Just download the CBS Sports app. I have it on my Roku. I watch it all the time. Great thing. First thing in the morning, turn on CBS Sports HQ. It's totally free, 24/7 streaming. Just give it a look. I think you're going to be really impressed. Let's get to our news and notes. Arodys Vizcaíno is out for the season with a shoulder injury. This team has been heavily linked to Craig Kimbrell. It's going to pick up steam now. It might happen soon, and maybe he's a Brave, but if he's not, A.J. Minter is the closer. How much confidence do you have in A.J. Minter?
Currently none, but I have hope. I don't have any confidence at all. He's not been good. He was pretty decent last year, but he's had injury problems of his own. They need to go get Kimbrell, although I did see David O'Brien on Twitter yesterday saying he did not think the Braves would go after Kimbrell unless he settled for a one-year deal, and even then he wasn't sure they would do it before June because they really don't want to give up the second-round draft pick.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, it's you know, that I saw a better explanation for that than I've seen before, because it's like, how often does that draft pick pan out? But the issue is they have two first-round picks this year. Since they didn't sign their first-rounder last year, they have the 9th overall pick and I think the 21st overall pick. And it's more about the slot money they'd lose if they lost that pick. They'd lose like over $1 million worth to sign those two first rounders, which could present an issue with how good of a player they're able to draft there. So that's really the first time that I looked at it and said, okay, I can kind of understand why they might not sign Kimbrell then.
Yeah, if you're not trying to win this year, then that makes sense.
Well,
but
I
they
mean,
are
how,
trying to win.
Are
they?
I don't think they expect to have the 9th overall pick or anything that high for a long time still. So you don't want to give up your opportunity to get a potentially franchise shaping piece like that.
Minter is only 50% owned. He's off to a bad start. He's given up 5 runs in 5 2/3, 4 walks, 5 strikeouts. Last year he had a 3.23 ERA, 22 walks, 69 strikeouts, and 61 1/3. And the year before that, a 3 ERA in 15 innings. I don't think he's a bad pitcher, just he's off to a bad start. I mean, look, if he were available in pretty much any of my leagues, I'd pick up A.J. Minter.
None of your points leagues.
I could see a scenario where I'd pick up A.J. Minter. I mean, maybe I have some sparps or whatever, but I have a feeling he should be owned because he's on a good team, and he's the closer. He's the guy now.
Yeah.
50% owned.
I mean, it's kind of the Alex Colome level, maybe even a little lower than that is where I'd put him. But yeah, there's not really anyone else who's going to compete for saves for a team that should have a lot of save chances. So yeah. I do think he's, you know, maybe not in a points league where only 2 relievers are started on every team and you got to figure a lot of them are sparps. But in any kind of categories league, I think Minter has to be owned.
Francisco Lindor could be back this weekend, actually. That seems maybe a little optimistic, but he could be back very soon. Good news on Francisco Lindor. Oh, my gosh, Joey Votto popped out to first base for the first time in his career. That is one of the most amazing things in baseball history, honestly.
Somebody sent me that note with a question. How is it even possible people are debating whether Joey Votto is a Hall of Famer?
Oh, yeah, Hall of Famer.
I think that's really, really interesting. I'm not sure. And I love Joey Votto. He's a great hitter.
You think there's a debate?
I think there's definitely a debate. His counting stats are nowhere close to Hall of Fame.
But we're in the OBP OBP era.
I think the question is, he's got 4 years left on his contract after this year. If last year started the decline, and he has, I mean, Albert Pujols at age 35 was a career .312 hitter with a .588 slugging percentage, and then his next 4 years were pretty much terrible. But if Votto takes the Pujols path,
he's not a Hall of Famer right now, because it doesn't matter what Pujols is doing.
I don't think he's going to retire right now.
Right. What I'm saying is Pujols, Pujols has, he's in.
Right.
What about Votto?
Well, I think the thing is Pujols has 3,000 hits. Pujols has all the home runs. Pujols has 2 World Series championships, 3 MVPs. Mm-hmm. Like, he's in.
Yeah.
If Votto falls to a .290 hitter for his career and has 60 war over his career, which he's at 58 now, Pujols has been worth 0 war over the last 4 years. I'm not sure that he is.
Okay, I think he is.
He led the NL in OBP last year, lest you forget. And we could argue about how valuable
12 home
he
runs.
Was in fantasy last year, but he was still 3.5 win player.
In terms of fantasy, though, Votto is actually, I know he led off yesterday. He's led off twice this year. I don't know if it's 2 days in a row. That's not going to be good for counting stats. It's not going to be good for RBIs. That's for sure. So we'll see. What Winker was batting third. I can't see them sticking with that. But just interesting. All right. Harrison Bader is on the IL with a strained hamstring. Tyler O'Neill has an elbow issue. The St. Louis Cardinals called up Lane Thomas. But Jose Martinez, he is off to a slow start. But we know he has a track record as a hitter. And he'll probably be playing a lot more now. So that is good. You didn't seem too interested in Jose.
Well, Harrison Bader was not on the DL. I think what I said was he needs one more guy to go on the DL. And now I think he'll be more in the role of what we thought that Mike Moustakas might be, where he's going to probably play just about every day, but he might come out in the sixth inning of every game because he's so bad at defense. The funny thing is I don't think Moustakas has been very bad at defense so far at second base. But Martinez has more value now for sure.
Jacob DeGrom's going to have his next start pushed back a day. He has strep throat. Justin Turner's dealing with ankle and hamstring issues. Philadelphia sent Nick Pivetta to the minors.
That's bad.
We can drop him?
Yeah, you don't. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make the case they fix him, he comes back, and he's bad again.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I tried to put it into context in this week's prospects report because, he's not a prospect, obviously, but he is a minor leaguer, and I'm always talking about the 5 prospects to stash in that piece and how stashable are they compared to somebody like Nick Pivetta. And I would probably have Nick Pivetta second on that list behind just Vladimir Guerrero. When they sent him down, the Phillies talked about how they still have confidence he's going to be a top of the rotation starter for him and perhaps even this year. They just have to put him in a lower pressure environment where he can work through these struggles because every win matters right now and they can't afford to let him work through them at the major league level. So I think we'll see him back soon. And, if we do see him back soon, it's because he's dominated the minors and everybody will be excited to pick him up again. So I'm not necessarily saying you have to hold on to him, but I wouldn't consider him must drop necessarily if you're in the type of league where you're scouting out potential impact prospects to stash.
Okay, Jared Eichhoff's going to replace him in the rotation. And in a bit, we're going to talk about some guys who are moving into their team's rotations and whether or not we want to add them. Eichhoff will be one of them. A guy pitching today, Mike Soroka, will be another. Lucas Giolito left with a hamstring injury, and he was having an awesome start against the Royals. He's about 35% owned, something like that, but you got to keep an eye on his health. And obviously, he's a little bit tricky to trust, Lucas Giolito. The Giants are considering moving in their fences in right field. Not this year, but we'd like to see that long term. Dustin Pedroia left with a knee injury. I picked up Eduardo Nunez. Mitch Haniger sat with a fever. I believe Haniger is, as of yesterday, he was leading baseball on extra base hits. Andrew Benintendi expected back tomorrow. Brian Dozier sat with a sore toe, but he came in late in the game, so he's fine. Starling Marte was hit by a pitch in the head. He stayed in the game, and hopefully Starling Marte is fine. Kristen Stewart left with a quad injury. Carlos Santana has hamstring tightness. No big deal. And Kevin Kiermaier on Tuesday was caught stealing twice in the same inning. Do you guys know how that happened? Caught stealing twice in the same inning?
Why don't you explain it to us, Adam?
He stole second base, or he attempted to. He reached on an error on the second baseman, and it was ruled a caught stealing. And then he was actually thrown out for realsies, stealing third base. So... How about that? Caught stealing twice in the same inning.
And I just add one clarification. Brian Dozier's toe is fine. We're not sure if not sure if he's fine.
We don't know if he's better than Hunter Dozier, and we will be ranking Hunter Dozier shortly amongst other infielders. Let's get to Wednesday's standouts. Scott, lead it off. Who stood out to you in Wednesday's games?
Kevin Gausman was the biggest standout for me because we've talked in the past about how his splitter is the key to his success, how we'd like to see him throw it more. And he did throw it more last year. Didn't get the results we were hoping for. He threw it more, though, as in like 25% of the time. Well, so far this year, including this start, he threw it 40% of the time. Big increase even from... compared to the modest increase last year, and it's an increase on top of it. 19 swinging strikes in this game. Two of his three starts have been phenomenal. I was very excited to go through all my leagues and add him yesterday, which is normally not something I do midweek, drop everything to add a player. And it turns out he was owned in every single one of my leagues, which is a shock to me because I thought people were pretty much over him, but apparently not. He needs to be owned, though.
82% owned. Hey, I couldn't believe he's eight. Actually, I think he's overowned. I mean, this is a great start. And Arizona was his opponent, 10 strikeouts, as you see there. Arizona scored the eighth most runs in baseball, which is shocking to me. He's got two starts next week. One of them's at Cincinnati. The other's home against Colorado. I don't know. I mean, I can't say now's a great time to drop Kevin Gausman, but I can say that I was surprised he was 82% owned, and if you told me yesterday he was 82% owned, I would have said Kevin Gausman is very overowned.
I'm not sure that's true. I've been pretty impressed with what he's done so far.
Well, the numbers look a lot better now, especially the strikeouts, but no, he's off to a good start. He had a 270-something ERA with the Braves last year. He just had very low strikeout rate, 44 Ks and 59 and two-thirds. All right, fine. Own him. Don't drop him. Let's see where it goes. Cole Hamels was my standout, and really the question is 7 scoreless innings, 8 strikeouts. What do we make of starts against the Marlins? You got to say it's only been one bad start for him, and it was at Texas, and he's been good other than that.
I just think every good start that comes against the Marlins, you have to, before you talk about it, say, it's the Marlins, but...
It is. He also had a great start at Milwaukee and a brilliant start against the Angels. So forget this Marlins start. Cole Hamels is pitching really well. Are you buying in? As I know Scott liked him, are you, Heath, buying into Cole Hamels?
To what degree? Like he has definitely moved up my rankings. I don't know that I'd go. Like, I would not start him. He's going to have several starts this year at Miller Park. I probably won't start him there. I'm not going to start him at Coors. But I'm probably comfortable with, like, it might be a little borderline against the Brewers at home. But for the most part, I feel pretty comfortable starting him almost all the time.
Would you rather have Shane Bieber or Cole Hamels?
Shane Bieber, for sure. It's not close.
Scott, how about you?
Yeah, I'd rather have Bieber. But I would say it probably is close.
Okay. All right, cool. So, good job, Cole Hamels. You got a standout?
Yeah, I've got a standout. Adam Jones. He's been great.
Yeah,
he's hitting .319, and he's only got a .327 BABIP. He's got 5 home runs already. He only has a 14.8% strikeout rate. He's actually walking more than he ever has. I had already gotten to the point to where I said Adam Jones is probably going to be good enough where he's must start in a 5 outfielder league. He might be better than that.
How though? Like, we know he's at the downside of his career. He's just not that good. He steals no bases. I know he has been walking, but he doesn't walk.
He is only 33, and that's old, but there's a lot of players older than him that are performing like they did in their 20s, and he really just had one bad year.
I don't think Adam Jones has had a year in a while where he's been a must-start guy in a 3 outfielder league. He had, other than last year, he's been a must-start guy in a five outfielder league.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But I don't know that he's been a three outfielder league kind of guy.
I don't know. 2017, he hit 285 with 26 home runs.
That's really not that good when you don't steal any bases. And he did that probably in like 160 games, right? Just to guess.
147.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. That was like 1 year. He usually plays a full season.
He hasn't played 160 games since 2013.
Well, he usually plays 155-ish, right? He usually plays a pretty full season.
It might have mattered whether that was a points three outfielder league or a categories three outfielder league, because I do think there he's the sort of guy where there's a big difference in value there. Doesn't walk at all, but makes enough contact that he usually ends up hitting for a above average batting, like a good batting average. So
he's also owned in 83% of leagues. That's going to be in the 60s in a month.
Yeah, I don't see anything so far. And listen, he was not good last year. He is 33, so he could just be bad. But I don't see anything in his profile that says, yeah, he's off to a good start, but this is not going to last. If this is anybody else, I look at his profile and I say, he looks like he's a pretty good hitter.
All right. Basic philosophy. If you don't steal, if you steal like less than five bases a year, and he did steal seven last year, but that was as many as he had in the previous three seasons combined, and you don't have an 800 OPS, and you're an outfielder, I don't really think you're a useful player. How do you feel about that?
That's probably fine, but like, he was really close to an 800 OPS 2 years ago, and he's had an 800 OPS multiple times throughout his career.
Yeah, I know. He used to be good.
I think he
just
might,
overall philosophy,
I think he might be good.
That's a kind of a number I look for.
But
800 OPS.
So much of what pulls down the OPS in his case is the low OBP. And if your league doesn't, yeah. If OBP doesn't matter in your league, it's just batting average, then
sure.
Yeah. I'm not good sure.
Then
I'm
your
not
rule
sure
is
OPS
dumb.
All right. Well, I'll try to say some more dumb things. We're going to take a quick break on fantasy baseball today. When we come back, I want to talk about some transactions I've been making, some trades I've been looking to make, get some feedback from Scott and Heath. And also, we're going to rank some infielders like the White Sox guys, the Rays guys, Hunter Dozier, Scott Kingery, all that coming up right after this on Fantasy Baseball Today.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
All right, here we go. Any? Have you guys made any interesting transactions or trades lately? I'll throw it to Scott White. It's not Sunday, so probably not.
My most interesting pickup, I hoped it would be Kevin Gausman. But it wasn't. I did make a trade in a very deep league where I paid quite a bit for Zach Wheeler. And then he started out yesterday. He had three walks through the first three innings, I think it was, against the Phillies. But then he was fine. His final four innings were great. He ended up with only three walks on the day. He threw 66% of his pitches for strikes yesterday. It's been kind of a bumpy start for him. But I think there's still a buy low opportunity there. I don't, looking at the stuff itself, I'm not concerned that he's taking a step back, and control issues are something he's going to battle always. But I think over the course of a full season, he's going to get it under control like he did last year and be a very good pitcher in an environment where, you know, it's hard to find guys who consistently pitch as deep into games as he does.
Zach Wheeler, how about you?
I usually make my transactions on Thursday just to beat Scott in his transactions, just make sure I get my choice before he does. So the only guy I've really added this week I think is of consequence is Hunter Dozier, and he is hitting the ball very, very well, exceptionally hard. Had some bad luck at the very start of the season, but everything's gone his way lately. Hit another home run yesterday. I did not add him in any league where I can't use him as a corner infielder.
Does he look like Heath?
No.
Nah,
Scott, can you see that now?
That's a stretch.
He looks more like Alex Gordon than he looks like me.
Okay.
I might be our resident Royals homer, Heath. I might be more excited about Hunter Dozier than he is, because I see a guy with a good walk rate, a good strikeout rate, high fly ball rate. So it's, you know, I'm not exactly questioning the power production. You know, he might profile as a low BABIP, so the average ends up being lower than it is now. But I don't know. This is interesting. We know he's going to get a lot of playing time in that lineup. He's at least on like the Christian Walker level.
Agreed.
I'm excited to add him.
But you have to have a corner infield spot. I don't see a path for him to be a top 12 first baseman or third baseman. And he is currently, but still.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, other than like as a hot hand play. And, you know, I don't. If there's nothing exciting on the waiver wire, I'm always about, particularly if there are interesting underlying stats, like in this case, I'm always about just picking up the hot hand and seeing where it goes.
Sure.
Because a lot of times you end up being surprised with somebody who does become a must start option for you.
All right. So some of the moves I've made, I added Franmil Reyes. It's time. I dropped Corbin Burns. It's been time. And that's in a 14 team head to head points league. I added Eduardo Nunez in our 12 team roto league yesterday, and Dustin Pedroia hurt his knee and it seems bad. Right now, Brock Holt is on the DL with a scratched cornea. So Nunez should play, get a little bit of an audition. He's hit very poorly, but I think he's an okay hitter, but he's stolen three bases already. Yeah. So it's valuable. I added Jose Martinez. We talked about him. I am working on an Aaron Nola trade. I want Aaron Nola. People seem to be a little concerned. He's such a good control pitcher. It's off right now. I think it's going to be fine. And I was a little surprised that you, Heath, were not a little bit more aggressive with your Chris Sale love yesterday. I thought you'd be pumped about Chris Sale. I think we probably all watched at least some of the Yankees-Red Sox game two nights ago, and I'll say this. If Chris Sale is throwing that hard, I have complete confidence in him to figure it out, and I do want to acquire Chris Sale.
I think he's going. I mean, he's still a top 10 starting pitcher for me. I didn't move him down anymore, but he did still have another bad outing.
I know, but it doesn't make any sense. Like,
Yankees lineup was like maybe one of the worst lineups I've ever seen.
Stop.
No, but I'm with you, Adam. Yeah. I'm with you. Like that yesterday or 2 days ago now, that start, I think for me, it relieved the, like, our worst fears. Like, they're out the window now. Like, he has, it's not a loss of ability. He has the stuff still. The slider's probably not up to midseason form. Doesn't seem like the command's up to midseason form, but he's going to get there, I think. So I kind of looked at the bad result in the start where the velocity came back as an opportunity to still buy low on him at a time when you can feel confident that he actually is Chris Sale still.
All right, there you go. Let's rank some infielders now. Infielders making waves, and one of them is Hunter Dozier. And so here we go. We got two Rays, two White Sox, a Royal, and a Philly. Brandon Lau is currently the number 9 second baseman in points, number 6 in Roto. Tim Anderson he's been one of the best players in fantasy. He's batting .424 with 4 homers and 6 steals, 1 walk, 12 strikeouts, and an amazing, insulting bat flip yesterday. Yandy Diaz, top 10 third baseman, 6th in points, 10th in Roto, and he actually has one more walk than strikeout. Scott Kingery, not pictured on the graphic because we can only fit 5, and I gave too many. But Scott Kingery is heating up, and he batted 2nd yesterday in place of Gene Segura, and he's 25% owned. Yoan Moncada, top 3 second baseman, or third baseman and second baseman. And Hunter Dozier. So again, the names, I know there are a lot. Brandon Lau, Tim Anderson, Yandy Diaz, Scott Kingery, Yoan Moncada, Hunter Dozier. Who's your favorite, Heath?
It's Moncada, and by a fairly good margin. He is the only one of these guys that I'm getting really close to buying into, like, this guy might be a league winner type. And okay. So he separates from the pack, then it gets really, really hairy. Because I don't totally believe what Anderson is doing right now. I don't totally know that the rest of these guys are going to get everyday playing time.
I feel like Yandy Diaz should.
Right? Yeah, Yandy Diaz is the other one for me. I would put Moncada first too, but the fact that Yandy Diaz is hitting for power before, and that was like the one thing that was missing from his profile, had been a good contact hitter, a good on-base guy. What's interesting about the power is we were crediting an improved fly ball rate, and that, I mean, that's come back down a little bit. The ground ball rate is still really high for Diaz, but I'm not really stressing about it right now. As long as he keeps hitting home runs at the rate he has so far, everything else is good and is going to make him very hard to sit in fantasy.
And Diaz is 61% owned. Lau is 66% owned. They haven't had a lot of lefties on the schedule lately, and Lau has sat against three of four lefties that the Rays have faced. So you got to keep that in mind. But he's obviously got some pop. Yeah. A lot of strikeouts, yeah, though, so I don't think you can expect him to hit 300, but six walks, 21 strikeouts. I mean, is Brandon Lau even going to hit 250? Or is he going to be a liability in batting average?
If he has a 30% strikeout rate all year, that might be the higher end of where I'd expect the batting average to wind up. But, you know, the strikeout rate could improve
a little.
Itself, you know, it's, yeah, still, it's, yeah, still, yeah, early enough that it's kind of too high to say, and for I think sure this is who he is.
What may also determine whether he hits 250 or not is how many plate appearances does he get against lefties.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he might hit 270, but sit way too many times.
So between Hunter Dozier, Brandon Lau, and Tim Anderson, how would you rank them?
I'd go Lau, Dozier. Okay, in a points league, I'd go Lau, Dozier, Anderson. In a categories league, I'd go, I think I'd have to go Anderson first, even though I don't think the ceiling is nearly as high as for this other two, especially Lau.
Yeah, I think I'd go Lau, Anderson, Dozier. Dozier's definitely last. I struggle a little bit between Anderson and Lau. The real tiebreaker for me is if you look at shortstop, even as good as Tim Anderson is right now, which of those top 14 shortstops are you going to sit when they're healthy for him? Like, there's so many good shortstops.
Okay. Would you drop Jurickson Profar for these guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would drop Profar for Anderson in a categories league, but I can't imagine that's even available.
No, it's not. Not Anderson.
Otherwise, I'd stick with Profar.
All right, and then Kingery, you know, look, we just need him to play more. Unfortunately for Kingery, Cesar Hernandez is actually heating up, too. Cesar Hernandez has been hitting great in the last, like, five games or so, but Kingery's making a case, so not a bad guy to stash. He's only 25% owned.
But he's a distant last in this group for me.
Yeah. Even if he had a regular games. Job? Like, even if... Okay, because he doesn't have a regular job.
Right.
Okay. In the bullpen, real quick here, Ryan Brazier came in the seventh inning and with the bases loaded and one out, served up a grand slam. But they used him in the high leverage situation, and it did not work. And now the Red Sox are 6-13. Brazier's 55% owned. Jeremy Jeffress is 48% owned. He pitched. He made his season debut yesterday. He struck out one batter in two-thirds of an inning. They were trailing in the eighth. They just wanted to get Jeremy Jeffress in there. And then Hector Neris got a save. So Adam Morgan, okay, Jake Arrieta actually started the ninth inning. We are going to talk about him. Gave up a hit. Couple lefties due up, I believe. They bring in Adam Morgan, who's a lefty. He gave up a hit and a fly out, and then Hector Neris comes in for a two-out save. Neris, bad in his first appearance, his last seven appearances, six innings, two hits, no runs, two walks, nine strikeouts. Brazier, Jeffress, Neris, and Blake Parker. I'm going to throw him in there, too, because he has four of the last five saves from Minnesota. And in the other game, when he didn't get that save, he was actually brought in for the save, but he just struggled. But I think he's their closer. How would you rank them? Brazier, Jeffress, Neris, Parker, Heath.
Ooh, Jeffress.
Really?
Parker. Neris. Brazier.
Jeffress won. I mean, that's a bit of a leap of faith.
Well, it's like saying that he's going to be a top 20 closer is a leap of faith. I'm not sure he has to be a top 20 closer to be better than all these guys.
Parker's the guy. Like, what is it that we don't like about Blake Parker? He's their closer. He's gotten the opportunity in each of their last five save chances.
Okay. Well, I put him second. The rest of the guys, I don't really think are in the conversation.
He's 41.
I don't think he's very good, and there's so many others in the conversation.
No,
so that's
in the really, that's not true. Like, Trevor May has been terrible, and Rodgers is a lefty, and since the opening day, he doesn't have a save, I don't think. Maybe one, but it hasn't really been used
that way. There's also Trevor Hildenberger, who's off to a really good start, and I just think when Parker inevitably struggles, it'll be very easy for them to try somebody else, and I'm not sure. Like, I still don't feel very confident that we can say with 100% assurance he's going to get every save opportunity.
Not everyone.
I was laughing when Heath was listing the options, because the guy he lists last is who I'd list first, Ryan Brasher, who only has one guy he's competing with, and I think he's still, despite the usage yesterday, he seems to be the preferred option for saves.
He's on the worst team in the American League East, though. Like, he's not going to get any chances. All right, we got some trade talk. It is Thursday, so we'd like to talk trade here on Fantasy Baseball Today. And then I have a segment called, Hey, You Know Who's Been Really Good? And one called, Hey, You Know Who's Been Really Bad? And we got to talk about Mike Soroka, Walker Buehler, and Carlos Carrasco with excellent starts yesterday. Jay Happ, hopefully turning things around. Trevor Williams with another good start. He has a 2.59 ERA. Sonny Gray, we haven't talked about him. He's 66% owned. Maybe the worst thing I've said on the show this year is that Sonny Gray is a myth and I'm done with him. It was after his first start.
Well done.
Yeah, you also agreed with that he was a myth, so I just wanted to throw that out there. And then hopefully some great
trade.
The man,
the myth, the legend. That's what kind of he is.
Apparently. All right, we'll take another quick break. Last break of the show on Fantasy Baseball Today. Buy low, sell high, buy high when we come back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Heath, you want to kick it off? You got to buy low?
Yeah, of course I do. And I talked about this guy a little bit yesterday, but I am absolutely trying to buy low on Jack Flaherty right now. Two of his first four starts have come against the Milwaukee Brewers in Miller Park. He's been absolutely terrible in those starts. Very, very good in the other two starts. Most importantly, in all four starts, the control has been better than it was last year. He has not had any walk problems this year. I still think Jack Flaherty is going to be a borderline ace when he doesn't pitch at Miller Park.
Scott, buy low?
So I already gave my buy low on Chris Sale spiel, but for VOD purposes, I'll give it again. Chris Sale's velocity was way up in his most recent start. He peaked at 98. He averaged 95. It was like good Chris Sale again. And that, to me, relieved the worst fears. And it didn't end up having a great result, but if he's able, if we're confident that the stuff isn't diminished, I'm confident he is going to get his slider back at some point. The command's going to round into midseason form, and he's going to be an ace again. The fact that it was a bad start gives you one last chance to buy low on him at a time when you can feel more confident he is actually Chris Sale.
All right, let's do some sell high guys now. Go ahead.
I'm going with Tim Anderson, and I think maybe somebody was joking when they said that was a disrespectful bat flip. It was. He was.
It was. It was very disrespectful.
Very disrespectful. Yeah. Let's just bat flip happily. But like, this is not real. He has a 488 BABIP. He's got almost a 30% home run to fly ball ratio. He's hitting a ton of ground balls still. This is not real, and there's too many good shortstops for it to matter that much when he cools off. So just try to trade him for just about anybody else.
Scott White, sell high.
Yeah, Tim Anderson was my guy too.
Boom.
How about that.
So let's razz Heath here and say Paul DeJong is a sell high. Not because I don't think the power is real, but I don't think anything else he's doing is real. And he's a low OBP guy who's kind of a one note player with the power. And as Heath pointed out, I mean, shortstop. In a non-middle infielder league, you know, you're not, a league where you're not starting the extra infield, it's kind of deep. There's kind of plenty to go around. And I think when in the end, DeJong is not going to be among that top 12. He clearly is right now. So it's a good chance to capitalize on what he's done so far.
You know what's interesting, though? It is a deep position, but is there anything on the waiver wire?
You are going to love what's about to happen.
What happened?
You just want to move on to the next section?
Buy high.
Paul DeJong.
I was going to say, I'm sure Heath even agrees that Paul DeJong is a sell high.
I do not.
He's the number one shortstop in fantasy right now. We don't think he's that good. But you think what about Paul?
I think shortstop is really deep. I think he's quite likely going to be a top 10 shortstop the rest of the year. And so he is one of the guys you're going to start, even in a points league. His strikeout rate as a rookie was 28%. Last year he came back, he cut it to 25%. This year so far it's 19.8%. He's absolutely crushing the baseball. I don't think he's going to be a bad batting average guy. I don't think he's going to be necessarily somebody that hurts you in terms of on-base percentage. And he's hitting third in that Cardinals order. He already has 27 runs plus RBI in 18 games. He is going to have so many runs in RBI. He's going to hit 30-plus home runs, and he's going to hit close to 300.
This is the danger.
Close to 300? He hit 240 last year.
He hit 285 the year before.
And you think he's going to hit close to 300 when his career batting average is like
260? His strikeout rate is 9% better than it was in his rookie year.
But you buy that?
I buy his better approach, yes.
Okay.
I don't necessarily buy hitting close to 300, but this is the danger of trying to come up with a sell high on the fly, because if the reduced strikeout rate does hold, and it's still too early to know, but if it does, then it certainly changes the equation for me. So doesn't mean I wouldn't necessarily be looking to sell high, but you have to make sure it's actually selling high.
This would be a perfect situation for Scott to sell high and me to buy high. Unfortunately, in all the leagues that we're in together, I drafted Paul DeJong, so it doesn't work.
Would you guys rather have Paul DeJong or Gleyber Torres?
DeJong.
I would rather have Torres.
Paul DeJong or Elvis Andrews?
DeJong.
Andrews. Just say it.
DeJong.
That's a buy high. 100%. He got caught stealing yesterday or maybe the day before, which means he ran again. He's running. He's stealing. He's hitting. He's Elvis Andrews. He's back. He's better than Paul DeJong.
He's not been as good as Paul DeJong.
He hasn't been as good as Paul DeJong, but he's better than Paul DeJong. You should buy high on Elvis Andrews. Scott, who's your buy high?
Okay, here's one we haven't talked about today. Michael Conforto. Very excited about what he's doing. Doesn't seem to be any playing time concerns anymore, even though he bats left-handed. But most impressively for me, his ground ball rate so far is 26%. The line drive rate is way up. The fly ball rate is way up. That's exactly what you want to see in the hopes that a guy makes a stud turn. And it's opposite of what the narrative was coming into the season, where, oh, Chili Davis is going to ruin him. He's not going to be hitting for power anymore. It seems like the plate discipline is exactly where you want it to be, and the batted ball profile is exactly where you want it to be, and he could be poised for a breakout, maybe even like an MVP caliber season.
Yeah, Conforto is actually, he's in the hey, you know, has been really good section. And since 2016, he's been respectable against lefties. Last year, he was actually slightly better against lefties than he was against righties. So he's not a player that even if he does, and he will play against lefties, it seems, is just going to be terrible and useless. You know, if all of his bats were against lefties, then he'd be useless, but that's obviously not the case. Yeah, so Conforto's looking great, and honestly, like, we probably... Chili Davis, I'm sorry. You're doing a great job. The Mets hitters have been fantastic, and yeah, Conforto's looking awesome.
Would you rather have Conforto or A.J. Pollock?
Honestly, I was going to say A.J. Pollock as a buy low. I'm not concerned about his performance. Like, he's a good player, but I have trouble buying low on players that I pretty much know are going to get hurt at some point. Like, I would say Justin Turner's a buy low, but he's already hurt. You know, he's not on the IL. Again, he should perform fine. I think I'd rather have Conforto. Why not? Right?
Yeah, I think I would too. I just moved him ahead. And I haven't moved Pollock down. I'm not concerned about the performance either. But
right. Yeah. All right, good. Good stuff. Thank you. So to recap, buy low, Scott said Chris Sale, and Heath said Jack Flaherty. Really, like, I think what you saw from Carlos Carrasco, well, that's so Carlos Carrasco, right? I mean, he's off to the most Carlos Carrasco start ever. You're not going to have that much time to buy low on these aces if they right the ship, and we think most of them will. So Chris Sale for Scott, Jack Flaherty for Heath.
Yeah, the only one, I mean, there's a chance one doesn't. I just don't know how to pick out which one that is. There's not anything that's alarming enough underlying except for Chris Sale, and then that just got
right.
Passed, so
right. Strasburg concerns me a little bit. Like, I heard what Heath said yesterday on the show, and there's a lot of good things to like about Strasburg. His home run to fly ball rate, very high. His walk to strikeout ratio is great, but what has concerned me is just his velocity is the lowest of his career, basically. And I would not have made Steven Strasburg the centerpiece of my starting pitching plan, which I did, if I had known he was going to be throwing it like this. He's not a soft tosser, but he doesn't have one of his biggest weapons. But he should be fine. I guess he's a buy low, but not what I'm
super
confused.
There's a little more concern there when the velocity is down like it is, but it's not to the extent Sales is, and I don't think it's impacted his strikeouts, right?
No, but like it might impact his home runs, you know?
The two I was most concerned about have been just absolutely awesome the last two, their last start, so I'm not as concerned. Paxton and Buehler.
Oh, Buehler I have the long-term concerns about.
Yes, still.
But, yeah. All right, so the sell highs were Paul DeJong for Scott, Tim Anderson for Heath, and also Tim Anderson for Scott. And the buy highs were Paul DeJong for Heath, Michael Conforto for Scott. Hey, you know who's been really good? All right, let's have a fun, positive, happy segment about these great players. Matt Chapman's been really good. Not as good as I thought. I thought he'd be higher up because, you know, he's played 21 games. But Matt Chapman's number 8 third baseman in points, number 6 in Roto. He had 146 strikeouts in 145 games last year. Matt Chapman has 8 strikeouts in 21. Is that true?
Yeah.
8 strikeouts in 21. Sometimes I put something down and it's just like, really? But Chapman is batting .284. He's off to a great start, Heath. Looks awesome.
You know, great job by you here, because I actually was going through the box scores last night and saw Matt Chapman's name and thought, we haven't talked about Matt Chapman yet. He's been awesome. So very good job, Adam.
Thank you.
I think one of the reasons he's not been quite as good for fantasy yet is he only has a .250 BABIP. And he's hitting .284 with a .250 BABIP. Mm. He has been phenomenal, and if he keeps this up, he might be a top 5 third baseman.
I don't know what the A's like. This seems like a close to a team wide thing where the strikeout rates are way down, and I don't know if it has to do with the opponents they've faced, or, you know, in the case of both Matt Chapman and Marcus Semien, I'm looking at them as having a kind of upside I never thought they had before. I mean, Chapman's easier to buy because he was already must own, must start before that. And now he looks like, you know, potentially top 10 at the deepest position in fantasy. But Semien's interesting, too. I think Semien's must start right now.
Hey, Scott, you know who's been really good? Jorge Polanco. He's 79% owned. He's actually only the number 9 shortstop in points, number 13 in Roto. But the Twins have had bad weather, and they've only played 15 games. You know, even just a few games less than your opponent at this point in the season could make a difference. But Jorge Polanco's batting .429. He's slugging .768. And he played about a half a season last year, and if you double his stats, he would have been startable. But right now, he looks like a star. What do you think about Jorge Polanco?
I would guess he's not a star, but he's only 25. So if he's entering a stage of his career where the power production improves, then I don't think that's outside the realm of possibility. The line drive rate has always been great for him. So you could make the case he actually hasn't had the kinds of BABIPs he should have yet. I guess it was 345 last year, but for the full career, it hasn't really matched up with the line drive rates in a way you'd expect. This year, it's kind of a Michael Conforto situation. His ground ball rate is very low. And it's, you know, he's getting a line drives and enough fly balls that he at least is giving himself an opportunity for a power breakout. So I'm intrigued by him.
Would you guys move Jorge Polanco ahead of some of these hot starters like Dansby Swanson, Marcus Semien, Enrique Hernandez?
It's a really crowded group. I think he's still at the bottom of that group for me, but that kind of shows you the depth we're seeing at shortstop, because there was already a lot more studs than we commonly see at the position, and now it's looking like a lot of the most interesting bats to emerge off the waiver wire are also shortstop. So where do you fit them all in? I mean, maybe your utility spot. I think it's reasonable to think you might be starting a shortstop there.
I'm just checking in on Jerks and Profar because I don't know what he's done lately, but I'm kind of starting to feel like Jerks and Profar should be behind all the guys you just said and Jorge Polanco.
So he hit a couple home runs, I think, last week, but they were at Baltimore. They were on the road, and I don't know that he's done anything at home this year. And then I think Jose Peraza is another guy that people are going to get fed up with.
Yeah, He hasn't been playing every day.
He's been awful when he does play.
Yeah.
All right. You know who else has been good? Jake Arrieta. Jake Arrieta has been quite good. Just trying to get the stats here. He's got a 2.25 ERA, 12 walks, 18 strikeouts in 28 innings. But he goes deep into games. Three straight starts of 7 or 8 innings for Jake Arrieta. Is anybody buying Arrieta as a must start or even a must own guy? Because last time we talked about him, I said, I don't even think he's must own.
He's definitely must own.
I mean, he is now. I could see a scenario where, like, he just, like, his strikeout rate's pathetic. You can't, it's hard to be must own when you're striking out a batter every other inning.
He has to be an elite ground ball pitcher. Like, basically any pitcher who doesn't strike out 8 per 9 at the very least has to be an elite ground ball pitcher to matter in like a standard mixed league context. And he's always been a good ground ball pitcher. He talked after this start about some changes he made, some really like data driven changes with his changeup and his fastball, just making sure they're moving in the way he wants them to move, more lateral movement on the changeup, less lateral movement on the fastball. I don't know. It seems like he has a plan, and so far it's gone well for him. But, yeah, the not missing bats is something that inevitably catches up to these pitchers. I mean, he has a 5.25 Sierra, a 5.04 XFIP. Those are obviously concerning.
I will say he's on a 4 or 5 year run now of his ERA being better than all of his peripherals.
Jake Arrieta, we're talking about.
Yeah, so I don't think he's good. I don't think he's necessarily must start, but I do think that he's must own, if only because you're definitely going to start him against the Marlins.
And you're going to start him next week. He's got two starts. One of them is against the Marlins at the Mets and home against the Marlins. You know who else has been really good? Greg Holland's been really good. He has 4 saves and 4 chances. He has given up 2 hits, no earned runs, 2 walks, 12 strikeouts in 7 innings. And for a veteran like Greg Holland, maybe we shouldn't care too much about spring training, because I know he got off to a really bad start. But he's only 69% owned. It's another guy that you could go ahead and pick up.
Oh, yeah, that's silly, 69%. Compared to the group of closers we mentioned earlier, Mentor, Brazier, Blake Parker. Yeah, that's an easy call. Holland's got to be the guy.
I think it's really hard for to judge the ownership rate of any closer that, and maybe Holland deserves to be a top 15 to 18 closer, but any closer that's not in that range, it's just hard to roster them on a points league.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, so I'm going to save the bad for tomorrow. Hey, you know it's been really bad. Let's just do, guys, we got about 10 minutes left, so let's go quickly here. I want to read some emails. Welcome to the rotation. Mike Soroka, 39% owned. Eric Swanson, ooh, nice start yesterday against Cleveland. Six innings, one run, five Ks. Chris Bassett will replace Marco Estrada in the A's rotation. And Jared Eichhoff, unfortunately, if he starts this weekend, it'll be at Colorado. But Soroka, Swanson, Bassett, and Eichhoff, Scott, we welcome these guys to the rotation. Do any of them stick? Should any of them be on fantasy rosters? And would you start Soroka today against the Diamondbacks?
I wouldn't. His last minor league start after a great first one wasn't so good. But I am excited about Soroka in like a general sense, somebody who I think could become an impactful pitcher in fantasy this year. There are a lot of alternatives for the Braves, and obviously Toussaint earned his rotation turn with his relief appearance last time out. He's starting on Friday. It might be as simple as whoever has the best start between him and Soroka gets the next turn. There may be a roster issue that forces them to send Soroka down right away, and then there's like a 10-day minimum wait if they wanted to bring him back. But like I think they're more or less on equal footing now. If Soroka's bad today, then obviously it's an easy call. But I think the upside is exciting for both, and if one, whichever one does stick around, is probably worth rostering in mixed leagues.
Maybe they're finally going to release Julio Teheran.
Well, they're not going to release Max Fried. He's their best pitcher. Eric Swanson,
a pretty good start.
What about Eric Swanson, Heath? He's got two starts next week. He's 4% owned. He's at San Diego and home against Texas. At least he's scheduled for two starts.
Yeah, and that's like those two matchups are not difficult enough, I don't think, to where I would avoid a relative unknown at the major league level for two starts. He has, over the last year and a half at least, been a pretty good strikeout pitcher in the minor leagues. He's pretty much always been a good control pitcher in the minor leagues. It's interesting. I would have to be a points league, and it would have to be one where I was relatively desperate for a fifth starter in my points league next week.
All right, that's Eric Swanson, and I think we're going to ignore Chris Bassett and probably Jared Eichhoff.
I'm a little bit excited about Eichhoff. He's at Colorado this weekend, so there's no reason to pick him up yet.
Swanson or Eichhoff?
I would rather have Eichhoff long-term.
All right, some pitchers took a step in the right direction yesterday. Walker Buehler, Carlos Carrasco, Nate Eovaldi, and Jay Happ, I think, right? Yeah, you seem skeptical?
I mean, he had a quality start. That's good.
Happ, you're talking about.
Yeah, he struck out four batters and six and a third.
You can't dispute that it was, quote, a step in the right direction.
It was a
first time throwing more than four and a third.
Definitely a step in the right direction. I'm skeptical, but I think like next week he's got two starts, and one of them's at San Francisco. I think you start him.
At the Angels and at San Francisco. Jay Happ has actually been one of the most consistent pitchers over the last 3 or 4 years. He's a 350-ish ERA guy. He's been about a strikeout per inning. It's either all falling apart or he's a great buy low. He's old, so it
really
might
old.
Be the first.
Yeah.
But if he figures it out, he's an underrated player.
His swinging strike rate has always been good on the four seamer, and that's still been true this year. So I'm more leaning buy low on him, though he obviously doesn't have the upside of like a Walker Buehler or a Carlos Carrasco. Here's a funny stat for Carrasco: as dominant as he was yesterday, he still has a 7.41 ERA, 1.76 WHIP on the season. Two of his four starts have been 12 strikeouts. And that's his ERA and WHIP, which it's kind of a fun with numbers situation, and a reminder if you're just looking at the overall numbers, like it doesn't take much to completely warp a stat line. Just, like one awful start is enough to do it.
It's been two awful starts though.
Yeah, it's been
two
in his case, but one is all it would
take. Yeah, you're right. All right, guys, fringy starting pitchers, and then if we have time, some emails: fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Just tell me who you like on this list: Zach Godley, Sonny Gray, Michael Wacha, don't know how he did it, Jake Odorizzi, Lucas Giolito, and Yanni Chirinos, who got a win yesterday, but he didn't start, came in the second inning. Godley, Gray, Wacha, Miley, Odorizzi, Giolito, Chirinos.
Gray's going to move up in my rankings quite a bit, but I had him outside of my top 75, so He needed to move up. He's been surprisingly good since you were so rude to him. Yep. Godley is someone that I think I was higher on than just about everyone else, and he'd been pretty bad to start the year. This wasn't necessarily a good enough start to make me feel great about him, but it is enough to where I'm not going to – I'm still holding on to him.
And that's it. You don't want Waka. You don't want Odorizzi, Giolito, Chirinos, Miley.
Yanni is probably my favorite pitcher out of that group.
Not for fantasy purposes, though, right? Well, in a category.
He's been the best so far.
I know, but he's now not necessarily a starter because he made some starts earlier.
It really depends on your league settings with Yanni, I think.
Yeah. Scott, how is Michael Waka doing this real quick? Is he good?
I'm not sure. I mean, the walks have been really high, too, and I don't think his last start was very good. I think Fringy is appropriate. I think he's in that Julio Teheran class of pitcher where
he's not that bad.
Always, you're always interested in him when he's making two starts, when he has good matchups, but the upside just isn't so high that you ever feel like you have to keep him on your roster. The only must add from this group in my mind is Sonny Gray. You know, Chirinos is interesting, Godley's interesting, Waka fine, but they're not must own in like a 12 teamer shallower context. And then the other three, Odorizzi, Giolito, Wade Miley, got to see a lot more. I mean, Miley's done a good job with run prevention, but he had one strikeout in this, what was probably his best start of the season. And I think only four swinging strikes. So that doesn't seem like a path to success.
He had four strikeouts, right?
Yesterday? Miley?
Godley?
No, Miley.
Miley. I'm sorry. I think he said Godley. Miley.
Miley.
Very similar. Okay, those are your fringy starting pitchers, and I'm going to try to do a mailbag tomorrow. We got 10 games, so I'll try to do a mail. I don't really feel like doing any work, so I'll just let the listener.
That was obvious.
Yeah, no, but we'll get some emails in tomorrow. Grade the trade to finish the show. Here we go. Ethan from Cincinnati, but go St. Louis Cardinals. Grade the trade. I got offered this in our 12-team head-to-head points keeper league. You can keep 8 players for as long as you want. I give up Chris Sale and Domingo Santana. I get Corey Kluber or Carlos Carrasco. Who do you want?
In a keeper league, you can keep as long as you want. I think it's Carrasco.
Okay. So you give up Sale and Santana for Carrasco and Chris Bryant. Wow. Yeah, that's a great trade.
I don't know. I mean, the pitchers are both kind of old, right? How old's Carrasco? He's on the wrong side of 30, right?
He's in baseball years, he's about 30 years younger than Corey Kluber. Just look at that.
Carrasco's 32.
Kluber's okay. So old looking.
Bryant is just, I'm a little worried about Bryant, but I think it's too good of a second player. So I agree. You have to make this trade.
Sorry, Kluber, you're not really old looking. He's just there's something about him. He just feels like kind of older. I don't know. From Stacy, grade the trade. I was offered Christian Yelich, who I can't keep next year. I would give up Eloy Jimenez and Tyler Glasnow, and I could keep them both for 3 more years.
Yikes.
Eloy and Glasnow for Yelich, losing 3 years of keepers. You know, that's a lot to give up. What do you think? Grade the trade.
It would depend to me how much roster turnovers in this, like how many players are you able to keep? If you're keeping like your whole roster and there's not really a chance to restructure your team in the offseason, then I'd be kind of interested in doing it. But otherwise, if it's mostly a, you know, everybody keeps a handful of players and
grade the trade.
I'll go C-.
From Mike, grade the trade. I was just offered Eloy Jimenez for my Mike Moustakas. I've got Murphy on the IL, and Wong is on waivers in a 10-team head-to-head categories league. So he'd give up Moustakas and get Eloy Jimenez. Grade the trade.
That's about a C. That's pretty even, I think. I'm more upset with Jimenez, but Moustakas is plenty startable.
I think Eloy has more upside, even though Moustakas probably has 40 homer upside. I'll take the Eloy side.
Last one from Fernando in New York City. Grade the trade. 12-team points league. I'm good at starting pitcher. I give up Herman Marquez. I get Adalberto Mondesi. It's a points league. He says I need speed. I don't get that. But
what?
Yeah, he said points league.
Are you sure it's a points league?
I'm reading what he wrote. Points league, I need speed.
You never need speed in a points league.
Maybe they're like roto points, you know?
taking this at face value, I think in a points league, it's a bad trade. Mondesi probably went later in drafts, and Marquez, I think, stock has risen since drafts. So this is a
points league D.
A D+.
Points league D+. How about a roto league? If it is a categories league.
B.
Marquez for Mondesi. B.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds right.
Thank you so much, Scott White and Heath Cummings. We're going to come back tomorrow on Fantasy Baseball Today and read your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. I'm Adam Azer. Talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Baseball Today.